Get right into the message today. I got a lot I want to talk about. I encourage you to follow along in your sermon notes. You just get so much more out of the message. People have told me you get so much more out of it when you follow along in the sermon notes here. So let's get right into it. We are in a sermon series called Step Up. Step Up. We're going through the chapters of the book of James. And James has just kind of got that attitude. He's maybe a, you know, if you had a football coach, a volleyball coach, basketball coach, and it's, come on, step up. You can give more. Come on, you were built for more. You can do this. This is important. One of those type of guys. And he says here, this has been kind of our theme verse here, James 1, chapter 4, or I'm sorry, verse 4. He says, let perseverance finish the work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, again, his challenge is for spiritual maturity. Now, I define what maturity is. Maturity is when you begin to do what you know is true. And a lot of times we know the things that we should do, but because of our spiritual immaturity, we don't do it. We don't do it. But spiritual maturity is like, yeah, I know. I know what James is telling me to, and I'm going to strive to live out that life that Jesus has called me to. He's called me to grow. He's called me to thrive. He's calling me to serve in this world, especially in our faith. So here's a major sign. This is when you know that spiritual maturity is alive in your life, okay? Here's a sign. If you want to write this down, here's how you know spiritual maturity is taking place. It's when your actions and your words are in alignment. There's another word for that. It's called integrity. When we are living in integrity in our faith journey. So we've been talking about here in the past few weeks some of the things James has been addressing, challenging our maturity, talking about challenges, and he's telling us that the challenges that we face, they're not all bad. Some of these challenges, if we will allow them, can make us better and can help us grow. And then last week we talked about actions. Faith without works is dead, but faith plus our actions, that's a faith that is alive. And today, I want to talk about words. I want to talk about our words. I want you to know this morning, your words matter. How you use your words, it matters. There's a statistic, I did a study on this. The average person spends 1/5 of their life talking. Some of you are like nudging the person next to you, like, no, it's a little bit more than that. I'm just saying. They say this, that a single day's words would fill a 50-page book. Some of you are like, I know, 120. In a year's time, the average person's words would fill 132 books of 200 pages each. So we like to talk a lot. We say a lot of things. But here's the deal. Among all of those words that we speak, there's a chance that we are bound to speak some words in anger. We're bound to say some things in carelessness or in even haste. And I want you to know, as I'm looking through the book of James and studying, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to confess to you. This is one of those areas where I personally struggle. And I'm a communicator. I preach for a living. That's what, a big part of it, just talking to people. I'm in the people business with Jesus. I've joined with Jesus in the people business, and so I talk to people. But I'm going to confess to you, I have said some things that I have regretted. Maybe I've said some of those things to you. Maybe I've said those things up here. Maybe I've said those things at home. I've said some things that I really wish I wouldn't have said. I don't think I said it in the right spirit, or I don't think it was right. So I want you to know, if I have offended you with my words, I'm asking you, please, to forgive me. And I'm telling you, some of you, as I continue to be the pastor of this great church, I'm probably going to say some things in the future that probably will offend you. And I'm just asking you that for pre-forgiveness. Somebody said this about words. Words are like a toothpaste container. They come out, but they're near impossible to put back in. How many of you wish you're like, oh, I should not have said that. Oh, why did I open my big mouth? How many of you have ever had that experience? Yes, yes. And the rest of you are lying. James tells us in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, he talks about the power of the tongue, and our tongue has the ability to build someone up, and we also have the ability to tear somebody down. We have the ability to affect somebody's attitude and emotions. We can change the atmosphere in a room. How many of you know somebody who comes into the room and they start talking and the whole atmosphere changes, for good or bad, okay? We have that ability. There's power in the tongue. We can start fights, wars. Wars have been started by people's words. We can end fights. We can end wars with our words. We can communicate truth. We can communicate lies. We can start a marriage and we can end a marriage with our words. So James gives us some warnings about the tongue. Let me just go through some warnings that he talks about here. It says the number one warning, this is in your notes if you want to follow along, your tongue can be hard to control. Let's look at, can everybody got their Bible with them this morning? Let's look at this here in James chapter 4. I'm going to go right to the word here, towards the back, right after Hebrews. He says this in 1 through 2. He's, dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to the whole church here today. Not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. I just confess to you mine. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. You see, he's talking about here, our words, we have the ability to influence people with our words. And that, with that comes great responsibility. He talks about teachers. Now, teachers here, he's not talking just to school teachers. They're a part of it. But anybody who has influence over other people. If you're here today and you are a teacher, you're a pastor, maybe you're a ministry leader, maybe you are a youth leader, maybe in your workplace you're a boss, you're a supervisor, you're a manager. If you are a parent here today, you are a teacher. If you have influence in somebody's life, James is talking to you. And he's concerned about whether some should become teachers, whether we should have that on our lives because of the negative impact we could potentially put on people with our words. And he warns us, those who influence others, he says this, you will be judged harsher. This totally sets us up here. We're going to be judged by our words. I'll talk about that here in a minute. James wants us to know our words matter. Number two, your tongue. James tells us that our tongue is a small instrument of big impact. Now, I used to believe, I heard this, that the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. That is not true. That is true, but it can have the greatest impact. Look at verse 3 through 4. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in the mouth. Everybody understands that. You put a bit in its mouth and you got the reins, okay? And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So he gives us a few examples to illustrate how something so small can have great impact on something big. A horse's bit. Okay, it's in the mouth, and a gigantic horse that weighs thousands of pounds, and it just a measly human being can control that horse by the bit. It's just a small thing, but great impact. A small rudder on a ship, just a small thing, but great impact. And it says it's the same thing. The small muscle in our body is just a small thing, nothing really big, but it can have great impact over people's lives. In 1978, there was a man, a cult leader, by the name of Jim Jones. Maybe some of you remember 1978, what Jim Jones did. He had influence over hundreds of people. And in this camp setting, he convinced with his words, With his word, he didn't put a gun to anybody's head, but with his words, with his ability of his, with his influence, his impact, he convinced over 900 people to consume poison and commit suicide. Maybe you remember the Jonestown Massacre. He gives another example to prove this point. James 5, or verses 5 and 6. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. Flame of fire. Johnny Cash. Ring of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Man, he is just ramping this thing up. Annually, there are approximately 7 million acres of land in the United States that are burned up through forest fires. Right now, we are feeling the effects of Canada's issues and the smoke that we are consuming here in the past few weeks here. In last January, there was a devastating forest fire that consumed a large portion of Los Angeles. Over 200,000 people had to evacuate the area. There were over 24 deaths that happened. It burned down. This forest fire burned down in the city of Los Angeles 12,000 houses and businesses. Approximately 40,000 acres were burned up, to the tune of $135 to $150 billion, all from a spark, a small spark in a dry land. Impact. James wants us to know our words matter. Number three, your tongue can be poisonous to others. Verse 7 and 8. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Are you catching James's? He's really being extensive here. You see, he's saying that our words can negatively affect other people. You know, I did my senior project from high school. We get to pick on any topic, and I don't know what, I just thinking, like, as a youth pastor, it'd be good to do a study on, it wasn't high school, it was college. I did my senior project on abuse. And of all the studies of the different kinds of abuses that people go through, children go through, the worst form of abuse that people suffer is emotional abuse. Did you know that? Some of you are here today, and you're still getting healing from the struggles of emotional abuse. And you know how emotional abuse is inflicted on people? It's inflicted on people through words. Not the back of a hand, the bottom of a foot, but through people's words. So James is on to something here. And again, some of you are struggling here today, still hurting, still wounded because of words that were spoken over you or spoken into your life. James wants us to know our words matter. Number four, your tongue can be hypocritical. Verse 9 and 10. Sometimes your tongue, it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. The hypocritical tongue. And I laugh because, man, I've been there. I have come to church on a Sunday morning and I have just called out praises and sang the most beautiful songs. I just told God how wonderful he was. And then I've gotten into the car and I've turned around. Will you kids be quiet? And then the driver next to me, you idiot. And then I've gone home and I've turned on the Packers. I'm like, oh, you guys, I hate you guys. Why do you do this all the time? And then I start thinking about the next day. And I'm like, oh, I can't stand working with that person. Isn't it crazy? Out of the same mouth that praises God can sometimes be, out of the same mouth can still curse others. James wants us to know our words matter. And one more here. Your tongue This is a big one. Your tongue, your words are a reflection of what's going on in your heart. This is big. Verse 11, 12, he says, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. James reminds us, your words are really a reflection of what's going on inside of you. Now again, he uses that illustration of water. We'll talk about water here. So there's fresh water. My wife and I, we just got back from a cruise in Alaska, and we went on this train ride, and you looked out over this mountain cliff and all of this water. It was flowing down and it was just gushing. It was so clean. It was so pure. And you could just, I just know you could take a cup and just put it in and just drink it and it'd be all right. It'd be clean. It'd be pure and refreshing and life-giving. But we know there's bitter water. You know, my wife and I were just driving in the Rib Mountain area, and we were driving by the lake and the riverway, and it's just getting kind of green. It's getting kind of nasty. And you really would not want to take a cup and put it in there. Instead of life-giving, it would be more life-taking, right? It just wouldn't be a good thing. Because here's the deal. What's dumped into the water is what's going to come out of the water. Let me say that one more time. What's dumped into the water is what the water becomes, and it's what's going to come out in your life. And so what's going on in the heart, what's dumped into the heart, what we allow into the heart is going to come out of our words. Because James wants us to know our words matter. Here's three things that we need to understand about our words. Number one, your words have the power of life and death. We're going to expand ourselves here, and we're going to look at Proverbs 18:21. And King Solomon says this, the wisest man who ever lived, he says, death, and listen to how, like, man, this is being ramped up. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Even Solomon is saying there's power in our words. We have the ability to speak death, our life, into somebody's life. And sometimes, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I'll confess that this has happened to me. Sometimes the worst words we speak are to ourselves. Self-talk. I don't know if you've ever been in that place where the self-talk is just getting out of hand. Sometimes we tell ourselves, you look in the mirror and you are so ugly. Well, guess what? When you start to tell yourself you're ugly, you're this and this and that, guess what you become? They've done studies on this. You begin to tell yourself something, you soon will become that. You begin to tell yourself that you're dumb, guess what you're going to become? You tell yourself that you're clumsy, guess what you're going to become? You tell yourself that you're sick all the time, guess what you're going to become? You tell yourself that you can't, guess what you won't be able to do? Self-words. I remember always thinking, I've talked about this before, of how self-talk, when I was younger, I just struggled with insecurities and fears and just not being smart enough. I wasn't good at school, and I just thought I was dumb until one day I believed, and I began to tell myself something different. I remember one time one of our youth leaders back in the day, one of our youth leaders ran a half marathon. I'm like, oh my word, that would just be incredible. I could never run a half marathon. I couldn't even run a 5K. I just kept telling myself, and guess what? I never did. Until one day, I chose to believe and tell myself something different, and I began to believe it. You know what? I can. I can. With Christ, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I ran 12 marathons. Lord, help me, Father. So instead of believing what I thought or what others thought, I started to listen to what God thought of me. And my self-talk changed. You see, with our words, that Solomon tells us we have the ability to speak death, our life, and to other people. So let's talk about this word death. Death, heard and read stories of people committing suicide because of the tongues of others. You realize that has happened. I've watched others use their tongues to lead people away from Jesus and his word, and at the same time saying, I speak for God. I've observed people misquote scripture and deceive people, and eventually I've seen them lead others to their destruction. People say, you are worthless. Speaking death, you are stupid. Your lack of faith has made you sick. Your lack of faith has made you poor. You must be perfect, or God does not love you. You are a loser. You cannot do anything right. Maybe these words of death have been spoken over you. But Solomon says, no, but we can speak life. I remember as a teenager, knowing that I had a calling into ministry, but again, the self-talk began to fill my mind, like, oh, no, maybe you're not, maybe you're this or that, and you'll never succeed. And again, self-talk can be all call-consuming until somebody, a friend of my mom, who had a prophetic gifting, was awoken at 2:00 in the morning one morning, and she was instructed to write a prophetic word to me. And those words, that she gave that letter to my mom. My mom gave it to me. She didn't know me that well, but those words spoke life into me. And it changed the direction of my life. And I believe it's why I'm here today, because of that prophetic word that was spoken over me, life. See, your words communicate the real you. Jesus tells us in Luke 6:45, he says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. In other words, I talked about this before, what you say flows from what's in your heart. I remember, I talked about this before. I was a taxi cab driver in college, and I picked up this young gentleman in a place where young gentlemen should not be. Can I just say that? Okay. And he got in my cab, and he's like, woo, that place is crazy. Have you ever been in that place? I'm like, yeah. Like, I had to go in there one time to get somebody, and I will never go in there again. Yeah, it's just not a good place to be. And he just began to tell me what a great time that he was having and stuff. And then he turns and he says, hey, what's a young man like you like driving taxi cab in Minneapolis, Minnesota? I said, well, I do this as my job. I go to a Bible college. I'm studying to be a pastor. Crickets, crickets, crickets. And then all of a sudden, it changed. Oh, you're studying to be a youth pastor? Yeah. Like, yeah, I work with the teenagers in my home church, too. And, like, yeah, we just did this, and we just got back from this convention and youth camp. And, like, yeah, praise God, you know, da-da-da-da. You see, our heart is kind of like a sponge. When you put it under pressure, that's what's on the inside comes out. Number three, you are accountable. This one we got to get here. If you're asleep, wake up for just a second and listen to this one, okay? Because Jesus says you're accountable. This is why this is so important. You're accountable. Look at your neighbor and say, you're accountable. You're accountable for your words. Where I get this idea, Jesus tells us this. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. You see, all of us, every single person in this room, every person driving by this building here, people who live next door, each and every one of us is going to stand before Jesus, and we're going to be held in account for what did you do with what was given to you? In other words, what did you do with the life I gave you? What did you do with it? And then the second thing, according to Jesus, in the words that you spoke, what did you do with the words I gave you and the words that came out of your mouth? You see, there's a lot at stake here. And with this, I mean, we've just said a lot, right? With the power of our words, the scripture speaks to this issue. It does not ignore this issue. And so I'm just telling you, this tongue, this thing, and this muscle inside of us, it must be tamed. It must come under control. In James 1:19, I believe James comes in and he's like, listen now, I'm going to give you a nugget here. I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to give you this nugget. You pay close attention to this nugget. He says this in James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all, everybody say, oh, that's not like crude, that's not just cute grandchild up here. This is like all of us, okay? Just look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Look at your other neighbor, and you too. And me, yes, and me. You must all, when you're using your language, you got to be quick to listen. Sometimes we get into conversations and I just can't wait to tell. I don't care what they have to say. I just can't wait to tell somebody what's on my mind. But I'm not, James, no, you got to be quick to listen. Slow to speak. We're going to focus on that. Everybody say slow to speak. And slow to get angry. So James, once again, is putting the responsibility on ourselves. It says we got to be slow to speak. Everybody say slow to speak. I'm going to use an acrostic for the word slow. I just really think there's a lot of great truths in here of how we can bring this thing under control. Let me ask you this. How might your life change if you could be more intentional with your words? How might some relationships in your life be changed if you could be more intentional? How could your work life be maybe different if we were to be more intentional with our words? Do I have the hook yet? Are we set? Let's talk about this here. Here's my thoughts to you. First of all, if we were to slow to speak, using this acrostic slow, the first thing I would do, I challenge you to do, if you're struggling with your words, I would challenge you to surrender your heart. Surrender your heart. This passage I'm about to read, I get maybe a little choked up because my dad used to say this passage a lot. I believe I didn't hear a lot about my dad's childhood. I believe it was a very difficult, abusive childhood. You see, my grandfather struggled with schizophrenia, and my dad didn't talk too much about it, but he was forced into a lot of difficult situations. But I just remember, of all the verses my dad used to quote a lot, this one, I think he was using this passage to tame his tongue, to tame the hurt and the wounds inside of him. Psalm 19:14, my father would say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And what I felt my dad doing was surrendering the words maybe he wanted to say, but he was surrendering to God. Say, God, I don't, my heart is hurting. My heart needs help. God, will you give me the words to speak and the heart to speak it? If you are an admitted toxic talker, then your first start needs to be the surrender of your heart. Here's one thing that I have noticed, one of the biggest discoveries I have noticed as a pastor all these years, I have discovered that life-taking words come from the undealt with pain in our hearts. Let me say that one more time. So many times, life-taking words come from a heart that has not dealt with the pain in their lives. We talk the way we do because of the condition of their heart. Years ago when I was a youth pastor, we were renovating. We had this youth center and we were renovating. And one of our youth leaders' dads came in and he was a construction guy. And so we were working on the building one Saturday. I'm like, man, Dave is just not himself. He's just sweating. He's got this pale look on his face. And he is just kind of having pain in his shoulder. And lo and behold, David's having a heart attack, a full-blown heart attack. And like, and it's like, man, I'm calling. No, Dave, sorry. 911. They can, paramedics come in, and just like in a nick of time, they get him to the hospital. They get him into surgery. And after he submitted himself, he's and they're like, sir, Dave, we need to give you surgery. No. When he finally submitted, he put himself on the operating table. The doctors did everything that they could. They saved his life. Dave came out of that hospital a new man. You know why? Because his heart was broken, and he needed to submit. He needed his heart. He couldn't fix his heart. He needed to put himself on the operating table to allow the doctor to do what only he can do. And some of you are here today, and you're just even surprised yourself with the words that come out of your mouth. And I would say, could it be the condition of your heart? Could it be that you are spiritually having a heart attack, and you need to submit yourself to the doctor's table and say, God, will you just heal this broken heart? God, will you forgive me? Will you heal me? Will you take away this wound? I think one of the greatest things you can do for your heart is surrender it to Jesus. One of the greatest things you can do, some of you right now, today, is to surrender your life to Jesus. L stands for life-giving boundaries. Listen to me, your words, people don't make you say those words. you are under the control. Ephesians, Paul tells us this, Ephesians 4:29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So but Paul is implying here that we can. And we do. We are in control of our words. And we take control of our words by setting boundaries on our words, life-giving boundaries. In other words, this is it's like, you know, I don't know how your words are right now, but you just said, I'm going to set some boundaries. I'm going to stop gossiping and talking about other people in a negative way. I'm going to stop talking down to people. I'm going to stop being sarcastic. Years ago, I struggled. I was a youth pastor, and our teenagers were becoming so sarcastic, like to the T. And then it was pointed out to me how sarcastic I was as their youth pastor. I will not complain. I will stop my complaining. If you go on a missions trip with Thrive Church, and you come under my leadership, we go through this little thing. Every time we go on a missions trip, we go through this time of training. And one of the things that we train, that we say, listen, the biggest thing that will poison a missions trip is complaining. So you are not allowed to complain if you go on a missions trip with us. And people are like, oh, why do I not make, oh, okay, I'm going to give you an out. Here's your out. You go on a mission trip with us and you have something that needs to get out and you need to complain, you are allowed to use these words, okay? Is everybody, write down these words. These are magic words. And here's a complaining word that you were. You can say, this is just the way I like it. Yeah, some of you have been on mission trips with me. Yeah. So we go on a mission trip and that's all you hear. This is just the way I like it. And like, yeah. And then we talk about the mission trip afterwards. We talk about the feedback and how it went. And you always get somebody's like, I never realized how much I complained until I wasn't allowed to. I never realized. This is just the way I like it. What if we were to just, instead of complaining all the time, we just say, you know what? I'm going to follow James' advice. You know, this is either making me bitter or better. I'm going to become better. This is just the way I like it. I'm almost done here. O stands for take ownership. James 1:26, he says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Whoa! Whew. You know what? James is questioning people's faith. James is like, I question whether you are a Jesus follower. What? Like, bro, have you ever listened to the way you talk? You ever listened to the words come out of your mouth? It's not words of faith or life. Words are full of death. I doubt whether you truly are a Jesus follower. You see, if your words and your faith, they don't line up, it's worthless. Man, I don't know about your toes this morning, but mine are hurting because I feel like I'm stepping on my toes here. It's time for us to take ownership by taking responsibility for our words. And I would just challenge you, if you have, from moving forward, make it one of your boundaries that if you say something that was not life-giving, that's contradicted your faith, that you would just stop and say, I shouldn't have said that. Will you forgive me? You see, that's taking ownership of our words. I heard a message before on fasting. And somebody, the challenge in that fasting was, what if we fasted negative talk for a whole week? Some of you, I'm challenging. What if you fasted negative talk for one whole week? And in other words, you just became mindful of the things that you said. What if you starved the negativity by declaring a word fast? Last of all, and I think this is the biggest one right here. Worship, worshipful walk. I'm going to start speaking praises to God all day long. Instead of filling my mouth with curses, I'm going to fill my mouth with praises. Paul tells us, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. That word rejoice means to express great joy and delight, recognition. It is to give praise. When we give praise to God, that's what we just did. We always start off our worship services with praise. What we are doing is acknowledging who God is, how great He is, the great things He has done, the great things He's going to do. We're giving all glory to God. What if we were to just commit, the first thing that we will say in the morning is, thank you, God. What if we started off our morning, first words out of our mouth is just giving God praise? What if throughout our day we would look for things to give praise about? There's lots of negative that we can see out there. That's easy to do. But even what if we even gave God praise for the negative? God, I know that this negative situation has just come my way, this challenge, I give you thanks for it because I know you're building my character. What if we were to start rejoicing instead of cursing? What if we were to, right before we go to sleep, the last words that come out of our mouth, thank you, God. Thank you for this day. Lord, I give you praise. I rejoice. You see, you know what this is right here? This is what you call spiritual warfare. Because the enemy, oh, he hates when you do those things. That's because he's a life taker. But our God is a life giver. And if that same life-giving spirit lives in you, that same life-giving spirit needs to come out of our mouths. Amen. I want you to know this morning, man, James hits it hard, okay? How many of you feel like you got a bloody nose right now? Like, man, that hurt. That's James. James wants us to know our words, they matter. This is in the holy book. I said, it matters, your words. If you're here this morning, if you're wondering, here's my challenge to you. If you're wondering if you got a problem with your words, I triple dog dare you to ask the person who's closest to you. Just ask them. Are my words more life-giving or life-taking? And if they hesitate, you already know the answer. You already know the answer. Words, our words matter. I want to get back to the issue of the heart, because I truly believe, and the word tells us, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And I would start there. Maybe this morning, the most powerful thing that you can do to affect the words that come out of your mouth is to give your heart to Jesus and ask Him to bring healing to the heart. Would you like to do that this morning? If you've never given your life to Jesus, it starts right there. Right where you're at, just call out to him. Say, God, I need you. I put my heart on the operating table. I ask you to heal me, to forgive me, to restore me. I choose today to live for you. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, you've invited Jesus into your life, and he's already beginning to work. That's what he does. He places his Holy Spirit inside of you, begins to change the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk, the person you are. Thank you, God. I want to help you in your faith journey. If you've just prayed that prayer, that simple prayer, back at the guest center in the back are some people here who are they want to help you. They want to give you a gift, a Bible, a new believer's Bible that's going to help you in your faith journey. But I challenge you, faith believers who've already made that commitment, I want to challenge you to take James serious. Let's take ownership of our words. Let's be a people that determine that our faith and our words are going to match up. Let's be committed to speak life. Everybody say, speak life. Speak life. We're going to speak life into this world. There's so much negativity, but let's speak life. And if after you did all of those things and you're still struggling, I would say go back to step number one. You're still struggling with your words, and you just can't help the things that you say. Lord, I put my heart back on the operating table. Do a work in me, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for the congregation that's here today, those who are watching online in the 715. Lord, we just see how serious of an issue this is, our words. Lord, you called us to be life givers. We thank you for the words you've spoken into us, and may those same words that you've spoken to us be spoken through us into a lost and hurting world. It's in your name that we pray, and everyone said, amen. Let's give God praise.